Well, tonight, let's talk about schooling and opportunity. A lot has been made about the divide between low-income and high-income students and whether or not the state of Illinois is funding schools appropriately. We've seen that, that political argument's playing out in Springfield even as we speak. But closer to the ground, what does that actually mean? What is pushing the divide between education and educational opportunities for students from different economic backgrounds? And more importantly, what can be done to address it, especially when we're talking about the success of a student post-high school? My guest tonight knows a thing or two about this issue. Sarah Berghorst is the executive director of One Goal Chicago. One Goal is a national organization that's working to bridge the educational divide and works with students to not only get to college, but to stay and finish. Sarah, thanks for being here. Appreciate you coming in.
Thanks for having me.
I mean, this is an issue we talked about, I think it was like maybe 2 weeks ago, about this concept of, you know, it's one thing when the mayor and other leaders want kids to go to college, but it's another to get them to finish college. I mean, is that what we're talking about here? The idea that we need to look at this holistically, that it's not just about getting to college, but it's about the whole picture when it comes to education, making sure everybody gets the best opportunity possible.
Exactly. Actually, that's the reason we named our organization One Goal. And you'll see we have the subtext, which is college graduation, period. It's really not about college access, but persistence and completion, because it's that college degree that allows a 25-year-old access to the middle class, access to agency, to being able to make major life decisions for him or herself.
When we talk about the idea of trying to address the issues of the divide between low-income students and high-income students, what's that about? I mean, when you talk about, let's just first talk about the divide.
Yeah. So to give you a better understanding of that divide, when we look at this across the country, there are about 1 million ninth graders, low-income ninth graders, every single year in our country who begin that journey through high school. If you fast forward about 10 years, less than 200,000 of them have earned a post-secondary degree. Mm. So 800,000 young people are leaving the education
they start
system
college,
in between.
Right, right.
They start in high school,
yeah,
but don't
they
end
don't
up
make
completing
it out.
College. And, you know, in particular, over 70% of those students leave between the 11th grade, so their junior year of high school, and that freshman year of college, which is the reason why we've chosen to really focus in on those three critical years, the final 2 years of high school and the first year of college.
Why do you think that is? I mean, tell me about why the numbers. I mean, this is so staggering when you say it that way and you talk about, you know, 800,000 people. Mm-hmm. Why is it that is the age in which, I mean, I can understand choices and bad choices, things of that nature. But what is it about low-income students that are having them drop out at such a significant rate?
That is a big question.
Right.
There are a lot of different factors. I think first and foremost, let's talk about the transition. You know, transitions are really hard for everybody. Across the country, between 10 to 40%, as many as 40% of students who already have an acceptance into college, they're planning to go, don't end up walking onto campus that first year of their freshman year in college. And that is sometimes even two times greater for low-income students. We refer to it as the summer melt or the summer flood.
Right.
So these critical summer months are part of this whole journey that begins with academic preparedness. It includes things around mindset, belonging, actual resources in our public schools.
What can you do about that? What can you do about the summer melt? Yeah. Let's just stay right there because I want to get into preparedness and the other things you're talking about as well. But I mean, at a certain point, I mean, someone is going to get out of high school. Maybe they're going to graduate and they're going to say, oh, this is great. And, you know, the society has been built on the idea that you are now an adult. You can make your own decision. You can do what you have to do. What can you do as One Goal to continue to steer people on a path towards academic opportunities?
So we think about our supports in three different areas over the summer: the academic, the financial, and the social. And there are things that we're doing in every one of those buckets. So to give you some examples, under academics, we are sending text messages to our students that we call fellows, reminding them of key deadlines during the summer with their upcoming college, making sure that they've checked in, they've sent their final transcript from high school over, they have their new college email, it's sunk up in their phone, and they're ready to go and getting any other notifications as their time draws nearer. On the financial side, they're working on budgets way before they go to school, thinking right. through how they're going to cover every single cost as it appears and what their backup plan is. They have a person that they know in the financial aid office, a name, a specific person that they can go to. And then the social, which is really, really important. So we're bringing together our students over the summer so they can meet other students who are going to the same university, build community ahead of time. And also thinking about the family side of the social, it's just as important for you to talk to your family about that transition that you're going through, how available you will be or won't be, and how those family relationships will continue.
Well, a
to
lot of
change.
What you do is about graduation. As you mentioned, the subtext even in the site, everything is about college graduation and not as much about access. But when you get to a point where you talk about those three things, academic, financial, and social, just financial, if we're talking about low-income students and the financial picture is messy, or it's a puzzle to try and figure out how you're going to go to college, that gets in the way of, I would assume, the other two categories.
Exactly. And you have to begin that preparation early. You know, we begin in junior year with our students thinking through, what are the different types of financial aid? What's the difference between a subsidized loan and an unsubsidized loan? How much debt does it make sense to take out responsibly or not? Those are the types of things that students are starting to think through, work through with their families in their junior year of high school, so that by the time they're getting to college, those are conversations that have been had, and they have a real foundation to work
from. That's smart, because far too often, that's the last conversation, where you pick where you want to go to school, and then it's there, and you got accepted, and now you have to figure out the financial page package, and you're not even thinking about how it's all going to work. The other areas, I mean, let's talk about the, you know, what I find interesting is this notion that this is a lot of this is outside the classroom, obviously. How do you prepare the people who work at One Goal, teachers, other people who are involved, administrators, educators, to work with a low-income community, and how is that different than the way they've been taught, which is a much more generic way?
Yeah, well, let me explain a little bit about how we work. So first of all, the students that we work with come from low-income communities and so have some of the highest financial barriers to college, but also academic barriers, because in particular, we're working with public high school students that come to us on average with sort of a C, a 2.7 GPA halfway through high school. So those are the students that we are working with. At the heart of our model are teachers. So we find teachers that are already in our public schools, and together in partnership with those high schools and those teachers, we deploy those teachers already there to work with the students for 3 years.
Okay.
So they're working with the students every single day of junior year and senior year of high school, and then remotely with that same set of 25 students that they've developed relationships with when those students transition to college. So actually, we're not an after-school program. We are integrated into the school day, reaching okay. students where they are with, you know, some of the most tried and true change agents at the middle of all this, which are incredible teachers.
Right. I mean, that's a source. I mean, if you don't have a teacher who's going to invest in the extra mile it takes to get over the hump when it comes to resources, especially when you're talking about lower income students, all this is for naught, right? I mean, you have to have someone who actually is going to buy in and put social capital in to help low income students get past that threshold.
These teachers become incredible advocates, champions, friends, tough love forces in these young people's lives. And so they're talking not just about the path to college, but about things like mindset. You know, I belong. I can do this. I deserve to get a college degree. There is a lot in our system since the beginning where a lot of these students have heard the message loud and clear that they don't belong, that college is not for them, that they can't do this. And to have an incredible teacher in your life say, hey, like, that's not the story. If you want this, you can have this. And let me help you navigate this roadmap, because it is a roadmap.
Right.
And, you know, there was a recent study that showed that 76% of CPS students desired a college degree. And if you look at the stats today, 18% of CPS students are getting a college degree. So there's a real gap there in what young people want for themselves and what they've been able to achieve. And these teachers bridge that belief gap in
Sarah
very real ways.
Sarah Burghurst is the executive director at One Goal Chicago. We're talking about the goal of not just getting to college, but for students, particularly low-income students to graduate college, because there's a big it was surprising to me as a host and talking to, so I can't remember the guest, it was just this in the last couple of weeks, where that number is so stark. And I mean, you mentioned it all the way to junior year, but the idea that this really was talking about the mayor's plan to say, hey, you have to have a letter of acceptance if you want to graduate Chicago Public Schools. And to have this guest that we had on was really talking about the idea that, well, that's fine and dandy, and that doesn't seem to be part of the bigger problem. The problem is once these students get into the college environment, they are having harder times adjusting. Let's talk about the academic part, because where are they at when it comes to preparedness? And I know it's such a general, and we're talking generics and broad strokes, especially when we talk about low-income kids. But, you know, kids that are in your program, are they prepared for state school, for the academics of a four-year college?
Most definitely. The students in our program, about 80% of them end up going to a four-year college, and the rest end up going to a two-year college, which is also a great choice. That we really recognize that there are multiple different pathways for students, and as long as they have a clear vision of what it is that they want to achieve and that, you know, this is helping them navigate their way towards that vision, we are very supportive. On the academic side, it's interesting that you note that one of the things we really work with students with in their junior year of high school is improving their GPA, not only their test score, but their GPA, so that they can become a more competitive candidate for college by the time that they are applying. But so many of our students are brilliant, bright, incredible beings. They just haven't focused on the academics. So, you know, the story of a 2.7 GPA is not the story of their potential. It's the story of sort of where they've been to date on academics. And so we have many students that, as part of their One Goal journey, decide to really plug in on the academic side and put a lot of hard work behind it. You know, one of our fellows that I recently was talking to took an extra class during lunch period because we do an exercise with them where we calculate, where's your GPA today? Where do you want it to be? And he realized that in order to make that needle move, he needed an extra class. And so, you know, this is a very real thing. I think as a city, we need to think about all of these students. This is the average student, a B or C student in our school. They are just full of potential and opportunity.
A lot. I mean, I've heard this argument before, and it kind of bubbles up in the argument over school funding and the formula and what's happening in Springfield. But this idea that, you know, we want equitable funding and we want equitable schools across whether regions or areas or communities. But the idea that more often than not, someone who may be in a bracket that's in a high-income community doesn't get an opportunity to get this kind of treatment, meaning to help them shepherd into this transition to finish, to not only start, but to finish school, that they're kind of left on their own. And that seems to be an argument I hear over and over, saying that society, we've created these programs that will help a lot of people along the way, but we forget about the people who might be at the B-plus level that don't necessarily get that extra help. When you hear that kind of argument, I hear that enough coming out of Springfield about equitable school funding and school programs. What's your response to that, to the idea that you know, a low-income student is going to get this extra support and get one goal and get an opportunity to make it almost inequitable in the way that another student doesn't?
Wow. I would look at the data. You know, if you look across the United States of America, Illinois is leading the country in terms of inequitable funding. We spend 81 cents on the dollar in terms of our spending on a low-income student versus other students. So we are the ranked last in our country, whereas other states like Ohio are spending, you know, $1.20 on a low-income student versus every other student. So we have so far to go.
Is this where we go? I mean, the idea that you have products and projects that are outside of the schools that integrate and help out to make up for the fact that funding is not there at the government level?
I think it's just one piece of the puzzle. You know, we need to invest in our public universities and colleges. We need to fix the funding formula. And every young person in our city should also have a caring adult in their life that tells them, you know, you can do this. it's normal that you're in the middle of the summer and you're doubting yourself, but I believe in you and I'm going to help you and I'm going to be there for you to help you navigate the challenges.
Sarah, my last question tonight is more of an emotional one, in the way that you could tell in your voice, you know, the pride that comes from, and some of the, you talked about the fellow who picked up the class at lunch. How emotional is it when a student who's part of One Goal doesn't finish this out? That says, you know what, yes, I'm involved, but then because of the three things, social, academic, or financial, they disappear, or they don't, or they drop out, or they don't go into college, or they drop out of college. How emotional is this when you're building these connections with the fellows?
Very, very deep for our teachers and for our staff. But very important. You know, we are learning every single day, and it's also important that we don't put forward the narrative that equals failure. You know, there are some new studies out too that even some college has really transformed life outcomes. And so walking this path and having an opportunity to think long and hard about what your personal vision for success is, how you'll navigate there, how you get through challenges, pick yourself up and move on, is an important journey, you know, for all people in terms of their self-actualization.
Sarah Berghorst is the executive director at One Goal Chicago, a national organization working to bridge the educational divide, working with students to not only get to college, but to stay and finish. Sarah, thanks for joining me today. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.